Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
We're back for a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. And it's right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Always happy to be with you on the afternoon drive, and we have plenty to get into today. We're going to talk local sports and national. National-wise, we've got to talk NBA basketball and the dumpster fire that is the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, in all fairness, I think LeBron James tried to correct some of the wrong steps that he has taken this year by saying the Lakers' youth has unfair expectations. And I agree with him in some regard. Because, I mean, really, when you look at the youth of the squad, you have Lonzo Ball in year number two, Kyle Kuzma, year number two, Brandon Ingram, year number three, very underdeveloped from a body standpoint. And so I'm glad to see that LeBron came out and stuck up for the young core, but I think he's been a terrible leader. And I think a lot of the problems that the Lakers have this season has not only been based off of poor coaching rotations, poor coaching decisions by Luke Walton, but also poor management decisions up high and a lack of leadership from LeBron James, the team's highest paid player and a veteran with championship experience. We'll talk about LeBron James and the Lakers a little bit later on in the show. Jazz fans love this. The Lakers struggling. Two things that Jazz fans love. They love Jazz wins and Laker losses, and you have seen a lot of Laker losses. And if you're a Jazz fan, you're even more happy this year because of the expectations that the Lakers had. And look, I was one that said they'll be a top four team in the West, and they were on Christmas Day, and then things just went horribly wrong after a couple of injuries. And again, I don't think the front office did themselves any favors. I don't think LeBron James has done himself any favors. And, I don't think Luke Walton has been the right guy for the job. We'll talk about that a little bit later. On a local sports front, we'll talk baseball today. Coach Scott Mattson of the USU Eastern Eagles, but they have 8 games. That's all they've played. And conference play is expected to begin this weekend. Don't know if that's going to happen because of this weather. An unfair advantage for teams that live in Utah and Colorado. You can't get out and play. We have a terrible late winter / spring, and it just hasn't worked for USU Eastern. We'll talk with Coach Scott Mattson next segment about the makeup of this year's team. A lot of freshmen, but there's some big positives throughout the first 8 games of the season for USU Eastern that hopefully can carry over into league play. That's coming up on the show in just a bit. Let's start by talking NFL. Antonio Brown, right now, everyone is waiting to see where he is going to end up, and the Antonio Brown watch should come to an end within the next 48 hours. Teams that have spoken to the Steelers about a potential trade have been told that there will be a deal in place by Friday. Now, any trade that is agreed upon cannot officially be announced until next Wednesday when the new league year begins. But it's likely that Brown will want a restructured contract from any team that acquires him. Right now, he has 3 years remaining on his deal. He's got the base salary of $12.6 million this next season, $11.3 million in 2020, and then $12.5 million in 2021. But he has no guaranteed money remaining on the contract. And so wherever he goes, these contract numbers, they're going to be a lot different. Rumors have stated that the Arizona Cardinals and the New York Jets have pulled out. They are no longer interested in acquiring Antonio Brown. Shocks me because the New York Jets have a lot of cap space. To me, that's one team that I think should be making a hard push for Brown, especially knowing you have Sam Darnold, young quarterback that can sling it under center. To me, it seems like a seamless fit, but it looks like the Jets will not be in the running to acquire Antonio Brown. As of last Friday, 3 teams that were most talked about, the Raiders, the Redskins, and the Titans. A couple of more teams, according to ESPN, have jumped into the mix over the last 24 to 48 hours. Right now, the number of teams that Pittsburgh has spoken to over the last few days, 6 to 7. And the asking price for the Steelers started as a first-round pick and other compensation, but it has been reduced to a first-round pick. I don't know why. Look, if you're the Raiders, the Redskins, I don't know if I buy the Redskins. To me, that doesn't seem like a good fit. But if you're the Raiders and you got 3 first-round picks, boy, give one up. Get Antonio Brown. Bring some star power to Las Vegas. We talked about the Raiders earlier on in the week. They're going to be a fun team to talk about because Derek Carr and the trade rumors, those aren't going anywhere. You got a new GM in Mike Mayock. I think he's going to be perfect as far as the drafting aspect goes. To me, it just makes sense that the Raiders would jump in and try to nab Antonio Brown for a first-round pick. Now, speaking of the Cardinals, they may be out of the trade running for Antonio Brown, but teams have been calling the Cardinals to talk about quarterback Josh Rosen and his trade availability. The Cardinals did not give those teams any indication that they are willing to move on from Rosen yet. That's according to Adam Schefter, who, again, he's a terrific follow on Twitter. I mean, if you have a Twitter and you like the NFL, you have to follow Adam Schefter. Steve Keim, who is the general manager, stirred up the pot last week at the Combine, saying that right now, Josh Rosen was the team's starting quarterback. Yeah, he is right now for sure. That's exactly what he said on the quote. And ever since bringing in Cliff Kingsbury, there's been the rumor that they would potentially look at taking Kyler Murray number one overall. I think they're going to. I think Murray's going to be the number one pick. It just seems like a Cardinals thing to do, which means, yeah, the time frame for Josh Rosen, rather, it's coming to a close in Arizona sooner rather than later. Let's jump ahead, take a look at the schedule in the NBA. Plenty of action tonight. The Utah Jazz will make their return to KOAL 5:50. David Locke and Ron Boone will bring you the live play-by-play call. Tip-off is set for 6 o'clock. Jazz Pelicans. It's a big game for Utah. 5 o'clock hour tonight. Heat at the Hornets. The Pistons welcome in the Minnesota Timberwolves. We get Dallas at Washington, San Antonio at Atlanta, and Brooklyn hosts the Cleveland Cavaliers. Joining the Jazz and the Pelicans in the 6 o'clock hour, Philly at Chicago. That game is on ESPN. Set for 6, 7 o'clock, New York at Phoenix. The Kings play host to the Boston Celtics, and the Denver Nuggets will take on the struggling Los Angeles Lakers, who pretty much have no chance of making the postseason at this stage in the game, and we will talk about that a little bit later on in the show. As it sits right now, the Lakers 30-34, 5.5 games back of San Antonio, which is 18 to play. LeBron James is not going to the playoffs this year. That'll be a topic of discussion a little bit later on in the show. It is a Wednesday edition of Drive Time Sports. We're off and rolling. Local sports recap coming up. Plus, we'll catch up with Coach Scott Madsen. That's next. Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. And we will begin with high school baseball, where this afternoon the Carbon Dinos will travel on the road to Cypress to open up the 2019 season. Carbon will enter with a large group of seniors, 7 to be exact. And we sat down to talk with Coach Jeff Cincinnatus about this senior group recently on KOAL's Drive Time Sports.
The senior class will have 7 seniors this year, which again is a big class when you look at it. We graduated 10 last year. You know, you think after you graduate 10 seniors, you're going to come back and maybe only have 1 or 2, but we've got 7 seniors back, you know, which 4 of those guys really seen a significant amount of varsity time last year. You know, we talked about Ty. Adrian Sanchez has been seeing a lot of varsity time since his sophomore season. Braxton Bennett, who, you know, seen time last year at second base. Colin Lewis, you know, seen significant time for us at the varsity level last year. And then, of course, Anthony Jones was our starting catcher the entire year, so you know, we're going to rely on those guys a lot.
Past today's season opener against Cypress, the Dinos will travel on the road this weekend to St. George. That's just the beginning of what will be a very difficult non-region schedule.
We're knee-deep into it. I scheduled our preseason as tough as I possibly could with good teams that are close to us here. You know, we'll jump up and play Salem Hills again this year, Provo. You know, we open up with Cypress. That's a big school, you know, predominantly had a very good baseball program. I'm going down to St. George again. You know, those schools are always tough, and we're going to play bigger schools down there right off the bat.
The first home contest of the season for the Dinos is scheduled for March 13th at home against Provo. For a complete schedule for the Carbon Dino baseball team, make sure you visit CastleCountryRadio.com. Other Carbon High School sports in action today. The girls' golf team will travel to the Mountain View course, the home site for Providence Hall, to open up region play. Like the baseball team, you can get a complete schedule of the Carbon Dino girls' golf season by visiting CastleCountryRadio.com. We step away from the high school ranks and we move over to junior college. And believe it or not, the non-conference season for both USU Eastern baseball and softball squads is complete. Both teams are gearing up for Scenic West Athletic Conference play, which will begin this weekend. The USU Eastern baseball team will play host to a doubleheader on Friday against Colorado Northwestern. Start time for Friday's contest is set for 12 p.m., and the second game will follow immediately after at 2:30. Moving into Saturday, once again, there will be a game at 11 a.m., followed by an 11:30 start time, again against Colorado. Now, the USU Eastern softball team will travel on the road for doubleheader action on both Friday and Saturday against Colorado in Rangeley. As it sits in the non-conference portion, the USU Eastern baseball team played just 8 games, going 1-7. Currently, the team has lost their last 7 contests, and they'll look to log a couple of wins this weekend in conference play. On the flip side, the USU Eastern softball team currently sits 2-13. Again, they're under first-year head coach Ryan Smith. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We'll have more on both the USU Eastern softball and baseball team in the coming days. And we move over to the national sports scene, where the Utah Jazz will make their return to KOAL tonight as they take on the New Orleans Pelicans. As we get down to the final 18 games of the regular season, the Jazz find themselves in a prime spot as far as the Western Conference standings go. We're down to the final 18 games of the regular season, to be exact. And as it sits right now, the Jazz are the number 6 spot, but just 3 games behind the Oklahoma City Thunder for the number 3 seed. Again, start time for tonight's contest is set for 6 p.m. Live coverage will begin at 5:50. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
There's no crying in baseball!
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss the play ball!
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Holy cow!
I'm hoping one day we get some local baseball. I think we're heading that direction, slowly but surely. The USU Eastern baseball team, they were originally scheduled to open up league play this weekend at home with a doubleheader on Friday and Saturday. That's not going to happen. The idea was to move those games up north. Not sure if that's going to happen either. Joining us right now to talk about that and more, we have manager Scott Mattson, also the athletic director at USU Eastern. And coach, it's always a pleasure to get you on. I appreciate the time again today.
Well, thanks for having me, Jordan.
Definitely, Coach. It seems just like yesterday we were talking about you being appointed the new AD at the school, and we were talking about it. Months from now, we'll be talking baseball. Now it's off and rolling, Coach. Unfortunately, this team's only gotten 8 games in as we hit the first week or towards the end of the first week of March. I know it's kind of been a little bit of a dull period for the squad.
It has. We scheduled games early. I've never been in this long, so normally we're outside scrimmaging between those 3 games, and I mean, we've just been stuck inside. We were supposed to play 4 games last week where we were supposed to head to Montana. They ended up obviously not being able to play up there, and then they couldn't find a bus to come down and play us, so those games got canceled. And then we hadn't started with a bye, so that it's just been one of those things where everything had to line up perfect, and it did. And I mean, it's been... My kids are working hard inside and doing everything they possibly can, and they're chomping at the bit to get out there. It's just one of those things that, you know, with the weather the way it is, I've never, ever seen it in the 20 years I've been here like this. But, I mean, we're doing what we can. We went to Emory yesterday just to get an outdoor practice in, and, I mean, we're looking forward to this weekend.
Coach, when you finally get outside, and you mentioned going to Emory, I mean, how do you handle that as a coach? Do you have to really ramp things up as far as situations go at practice? Because obviously you guys have not had a lot of time to be outside.
Right. I mean, we hit a lot during the week, and so we concentrated more on a defensive practice yesterday where we are going over different situations, kind of prepping ourselves, running the little scout routine of what we have on Colorado, going over their plays, what they've done, and how they like to play the game. And, I mean, we're cramming it all in a 2-hour session trying to get it through everything. But I feel like our team got a lot accomplished and understands what we're trying to do against this upcoming team in Colorado Northwestern.
One of the things that I just don't think people really quite understand, Coach, is being in Utah, being in Colorado. I mean, we're talking about two teams that don't necessarily get a lot of outdoor opportunity around this time of the year. And I know ultimately, Coach, that can be an excuse. Is it hard for the kids to adapt to that? I mean, I know you got some sophomores on the team, so I'm sure it's a little bit easier for them not being able to play outside all year long. But the fact is, we go up against some kids that get to play outdoors all year long.
We do, and it showed early. I mean, base running was obviously one of our big issues in our first couple of weeks that we played. We made a lot of mistakes. I mean, I shouldn't say a lot, but we lost three or four games by one run that we had opportunities on the base pass to be able to score those runs and get those wins, and we're trying to remedy that. But that's the hardest thing inside, is to simulate running and reading balls off the bat. And then with hitting, I mean, obviously, it's a whole different atmosphere outside compared to in a cage. I feel like our guys did a good job, but you're seeing a lot of strikeouts in key situations and not balls in play, which it'll come with the more experience we get outside. But, I mean, it's just really frustrating to go out there and having the other team putting balls in play with runners on and us striking out two or three times in a row. But, I mean, this team's really good. They play great defense, and we're pitching it really well right now, and that's, I mean, all positives from what I've seen. It's just a matter of us getting time on the field.
Let's talk about some individuals, Coach, and we'll start on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, just glancing over at the statistics, Briggs Newman, a freshman that you guys have from Spanish Fork, been pretty dynamic at the plate so far. In fact, he may be the most consistent offensive player, I guess, through eight games.
He has, you know, and it's been a pleasant surprise for us. We're waiting on a few other players to really kick in, but Briggs has just been outstanding for us to start this year, not only offensively, but defense. He's amazing at third base. My whole left side of the infield has just been outstanding with my shortstop and Tanner Evans, who's also my leadoff guy. And I think he's right up there with Briggs Newman on hitting. But between those two, we've seen some really consistency out of freshmen that you just don't see very often. And our sophomores will come along. I mean, we have Ryan Curtis, who hit really well for us last year, that he's just trying to find his stride, and he'll get there and really start to put things together. And then Wyatt Barris and Dylan Rodriguez, there are 3-4 guys, you know, and they're seeing pitches that they haven't really seen. They're having a hard time chasing a lot of pitches right now. That just comes from seeing pitching. I mean, that's the hard part. That's why they have the spring training, so you can kind of learn the strike zone and be disciplined up there. And that's what's getting us early, is we're swinging at a lot of bad pitches out of the zone. And I mean, you're telling them to be aggressive on strikes, and it's just that fine line where you can't tell them to be too aggressive, but they need to be more aggressive. But we're getting it solved, and I feel like we're doing a whole lot better. And with the young group, we're trying to teach them that we don't need home runs, we don't need doubles. We're trying to get on base and steal bases and play the small ball a little bit more. And it showed as we went on in the first couple of weeks. But I think as we go on, you'll see this team really start to excel.
Again, we're being joined right now by Scott Mattson, manager of the USU Eastern baseball team. Coach, you talk about just putting the ball in play, and another freshman that's been pretty good at it is Hunter Lasko. He's batting over 400, if I remember correctly. And this is a kid, again, we're talking about a freshman leading the team in doubles right now.
Right, and he's done a great job. The guy can really run. He's aggressive on the base paths. I mean, I'm using him as an example every time we talk about running on the bases. Just been a great asset for us. Was came here last year just to try and get eligible, went to Southern Nevada just as a freshman, ended up not playing there, came up here, and he's just been awesome in the field. And I mean, we look forward to seeing what he can do throughout this year.
A large number of freshmen on this year's squad, Coach, and I feel like that's kind of been the reoccurring trend if we're talking basketball, baseball. I mean, you guys have a very, very young group, and I know the turnover every year is monumental in JUCO sports all the way across the board, but it just seems like there's more freshmen on this team than typical.
There is, and it's due to the fact that, I mean, last year we brought in some guys that were sophomores. I think we only had one freshman starting last year in Ryan Curtis in the field. And so, I mean, it was one of those things that, hey, do we bring guys in and let them play, or do we kind of sit on our sophomores last year and kind of ride them out? And they did a good job last year. And I feel like Ryan Curtis is bringing their their experience last year to our team this year and kind of implement it and showing these guys what they need to do in a leadership role. And I mean, as far as pitching, we lost some good arms last year. I mean, it was definitely a sophomore dominant group last year, but we have Jake Smith back, who's just been exceptional for us this whole year. I mean, this whole year in the first two weekends, but he's gotten through six on both of them, given up one run, I believe, one or two runs in both outings, just kind of setting the tone for everything that we are trying to implement.
It's always great, Coach, to see some local kids out there on the field as well. And I know we haven't got to see a whole lot of Zach Bradley, but we have got to see Cody Lowe a little bit. How would you assess the way Cody has made that transition from high school to JUCO this early?
You know, he's doing a good job. It's quite a jump for him. He's learning how to pitch a little bit, where he can't just throw it down the middle and kind of has to keep the ball low and work it in and out. And I mean, he's done a good job. As far as batting, I mean, he's seeing pitching that probably never seen in his life, where they're throwing a little bit harder, especially when you go down early and face those Arizona clubs. But, I mean, I think he's coming along great. He's one of those freshmen that we're going to have ups and downs with, but talent-wise, he's going to be able to take it, and he'll be able to do it and earn some quality time throughout the year. And with Zach Bradley, you know, he's been off for a long time, so I'm just trying to get him spots here or there, and we've kind of let him know that it's going to be a long season of him trying to get healthy and back in shape. And, you know, he did a good job of throwing strikes. It was just, I think he got a little nerves out there when he came in that first game, and, you know, it happens, but that's what we're trying to do, is get through that, so when this conference starts, we can actually start moving forward and start to win some ball games.
Now, let's talk about the start of conference, Coach. Originally, the games this weekend were scheduled for home, but as you and I were talking, due to the weather, there was talk about a move to Orem, but now that may not happen because the weather is even more rough there than it is here.
Right. You know, and we've talked about moving to St. George, but they're having that spring training thing down there for all the high school teams. We're trying to do what we can and just get some games in. I mean, it's been so long since we've played. We're just doing whatever possible. The trouble is the weather, and it's not supposed to get any better coming up through the weekend, and even into next week shows rain in the forecast. So it's one of those things, we're going to do what we can, but this weekend, I just don't see it happening here. So we're hoping to get to Orem High, but I don't know what can happen. It kind of depends. The guy told us it was dependent on what happens today, and from the looks of it, it's not going to be good.
Yeah, I definitely don't want to beat a dead horse, Coach, but if we take a look at the current SWAC standings, CSI 4-0 in conference play, 20-4 overall. Salt Lake 2-0 in conference play, 6-4 overall. You know, you go down and you look at Colorado Northwestern, they've played two conference games, 3-13. Southern Nevada, they've played 20 games. CSI's played 16 games. USU Eastern has played 8. I mean, it's kind of amazing to look at that.
It is, and I mean, it's one of those things that, like I said, everything lined up just perfect to where we haven't been able to play for a month, just in trying to get games in and trying to find places to play. And, you know, and with me taking this new AD role, it's been a little bit tougher, but I mean, I feel like our guys are learning a whole lot. It actually helped us to prepare ourselves, get a little bit healthier to start the season. I know that sounds bad, but before we played our first game, we had 2 weeks to prep for that weekend coming off from the Christmas break. And so these little breaks, we've had some guys come back, like Zach Fitch wasn't able to go on the first two weekends due to his arm problems, and same thing with Carlos Medina. And so those guys are back and they're ready to go. And I mean, we're healthier than we've been at this time in a long time.
Coach, before I let you go, I do want to talk about the new AD role. Now that you've kind of filled in that spot, I'm sure you've gotten your feet wet. Of course, we just had the conference tournament for basketball. How are things going from an athletic department standpoint right now with the college?
You know, I think things are moving in the right direction. We're getting a lot of community support. I've had a lot of local people come in and offer their help and their services and wondering how they can get involved. And, you know, that's what we're really looking for, is trying to get everybody involved and moving in that same direction. But I think we kind of have to build that relationship between the community and the college and let them help us to build in that direction, which has been working great for us. We have some great coaches that are putting together some great teams that, you know what, they're making huge strides each year. And so, I mean, for me, it's an easy job to sit here and kind of let them do their thing. But I feel like we're moving in the right direction, and things are only going to get better.
Coach. It's always fun to talk with you, to get you on and talk a little bit about the baseball team and, of course, everything that's happening at the school. Thank you very much for the time, and hopefully we can talk next week about some baseball. I don't know if that's likely or not, but hopefully we can talk about what's happening on the field.
One way or another, we'll either talk Dodgers or Eagles.
I'm fine with that. I'm good with both. Coach, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Jordan.
Again, that's Coach Scott Madsen of the USU Eastern Eagles. We've got a break for just a moment. When we return, we'll move over to talk NBA basketball. That's coming up next, right here on Drive Time Sports.
With the sixth pick in the 2014 NBA Draft, the Boston Celtics select Marcus Smart from Oklahoma State University.
This is Marcus Smart from the Boston Celtics, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Marcus Smart, what a spin move! To handle Marcus Smart, whether he's outside or inside the paint.
Let's talk about something Jazz fans are going to love. Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 7:50 AM. Jordan Buscarini alongside Travis Anderson. What do Jazz fans love outside of Jazz wins? What do they love?
They loved when the Los Angeles Lakers aren't very good.
When they lose. Jazz fans, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You love your team. Jazz fans are passionate. But they passionately hate the Los Angeles Lakers. And look, it's accountability day for me. Because as we get down to the final 17, 18 games of the regular season, I sat here in this chair at the beginning of the year, and I said that when the Lakers, at the beginning of the basketball season, let me clarify, when the Lakers signed LeBron James, I said they would be a top four team in the West. And Christmas Day, it looked good. They beat Golden State on the road Christmas Day. They were a top four team in the West. Sky's the limit for this team. LeBron James injures his groin. After that, injury to Lonzo Ball, which was devastating to this team.
Defensively crushed them.
They make a push for Anthony Davis at the deadline, don't get him. Completely killed team chemistry. And now they may fall all the way down to the bottom three in the Western Conference. Right now, as we sit going into tonight's game against the Denver Nuggets, the Lakers are 30-34 with 18 games to go. They are one win ahead of Minnesota. They are two losses ahead of New Orleans. And all in all, 2.5 games better than the Dallas Mavericks.
That's horrible.
There is an absolute chance that this team could be bottom three in the Western Conference. Now, when I made my prediction at the beginning of the year that this would be a top four team, I made that prediction under the assumption that A, LeBron James, who has been relatively healthy for his entire career, would not miss any basketball games, played 82 games last season. Lonzo Ball would be used correctly. I don't believe he has. And that we would see large amounts of growth from Brandon Ingram and Kyle Kuzma. And I'm going to talk about both those topics in just a moment. It has not come to fruition. Luke Walton will be fired at the end of this season. And Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka, who did such a great job of luring the game's best player, LeBron James, to LA, have done a terrible job at providing the necessary options to make this team better. The trade deadline was a disaster. And so there's blame to go all the way around. But nonetheless, it's not a good basketball team. And I'm going to throw this out there right now. Just because LeBron James is an all-time great, he is not exempt from criticism as well. It has been a failure of a season for the Los Angeles Lakers.
LeBron James hasn't been focused on basketball. He's been focused on everything around the game of basketball, all his, you know, his movies and his music and everything that comes with being LeBron James and living in Los Angeles. The growth that you talk about, the injuries crushed this team. And we needed to see growth out of Luke Walton as well. And that's, rotation-wise. And the roster that he has to work with, there's no shooters on this roster. They didn't bring any shooters in the offseason. He had Lance Stephenson, Rajon Rondo. It just didn't work out. And the fall guy for everything, most of the fall is going to be on Luke Walton. And you got to put blame on LeBron James. LeBron James has to be blamed for this disaster in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I think somewhat. I think LeBron's defensive effort has been not good.
Free
throw shooting's been terrible all year long.
Yes.
Right? Free throw shooting was horrible at the beginning of the season around November, December when this team was a top four squad. Free throw shooting was bad. Here's the thing about the Lakers, and I'm not a LeBron guy. I don't know how many times I have to say it. I don't know how many times I have said that on this show over the last decade that we've been on the air. I'm not a LeBron James guy. And I understand how good he is. I've never argued the fact that he's a top seven player of all time. I will never put him in my top two. So when someone tells me it's between Jordan and LeBron, you're nuts. Top seven? Okay, I can buy that. Top two? Get out of here. He's not even close. And I guess that, you know, part of backing up, I guess what I can back up this season when I say the majority of the blame is on LeBron. Look, for one, LaVar Ball, for as crazy as that guy is, his son's pretty damn good at basketball, okay? And I know that we hear the outlandish stuff of Lonzo's better than LeBron and Lonzo's going to do this and Lonzo's better than Steph Curry. LaVar says a lot of stuff. And so we look at what he's saying and we compare what he's saying to the production we're seeing in the box score. If you watch basketball, Lonzo Ball is very good. And when he went down, the Lakers lost an element that they can't get back. I mean, Lonzo was that important.
They were top seven defensively, and when he went down, they fell to 25-26.
Arguably the best defensive point guard in the NBA. And so, keep that in mind. I'm saying Lonzo Ball is arguably the best defensive point guard in the league. I think the growth that we have seen from a healthy Lonzo Ball compared to last year, I thought the development has been fine. Kyle Kuzma, he is what he is at this stage. Kuzma is a stretch four that is going to put up 17 to 20 points a game. I like Kuzma. Not going to offer you a lot defensively. When Luke Walton decides to run him at the five, you have massive problems.
Yeah, they just post him up and go to work on him. He can't do it.
Okay. But he is what he is, and his growth offensively, he's going to continue to grow offensively, and again, he's going to get you 20 points per game. Brandon Ingram had about the greatest 15-game stretch of his career recently, and they still weren't winning.
No.
They weren't winning with LeBron. So what I'm saying is when I say he needs help, he's got three guys around him that are pretty good. Okay, Ingram, Kuzma, and Ball. Name me a three-man core on Cleveland last season that's better than those three right now. You can't.
There's not.
Because there isn't.
No.
Okay? Haven't been healthy. I get it. In the same token, because there's youth that has developed well, not great, but well, around LeBron, you point to the vet who was brought in to take this team to the next level, and you point at the guy leading the helm on the bench, and that's Luke Walton. Luke Walton's rotations have been horrible. I don't necessarily believe that Luke Walton has lost control of that locker room. I think a lot of it has to do with Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka, who have no experience in the field that they're in. No experience whatsoever. But again, LeBron James is not exempt here. And I know it's very painful for people to criticize LeBron. He's loved or he's hated. So you're drawing a line here. People love it when I say it's LeBron James' fault. People hate it when I say it's LeBron James' fault. I'm not saying it's all his fault. I'm saying a good portion of it is because his defensive effort has been horrible. He has not been the best player in the world this season.
No.
Top 10. Yeah. Don't give me statistics. Okay? Thank you. I want to hear from people that have watched the game. And you cannot watch this Laker team and tell me that they are getting the best version that this LeBron is capable of.
No,
I get that he's aging.
Absolutely lazy against the Suns. Last night he was lazy once again. And in that Phoenix game, had a chance to cut that game down to 3 points with two free throws. And again, he comes up and misses two free throws. And then on the defensive end, he gives up a point to the Suns, who pushed that lead to 7 points. So he's been lazy all season long.
Yeah, he has been. Okay, and then you have Laker fans being criticized on Twitter because you have Laker fans that love Kobe. Kobe will never do any wrong to a portion of Laker fans.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have a section of LeBron fans that say this is ridiculous. You also have the NBA analyst who's trying to be logical, quit comparing LeBron to Kobe, bashing the Kobe fans that say LeBron cannot compare to Kobe. Listen, there's a difference between playing for an organization like the Los Angeles Lakers and playing for an organization like A, the Cleveland Cavaliers, or B, the Miami Heat, okay? When LeBron puts on a Laker uniform,
you are under the microscope 24-7.
Yes, you are. 24-7. Okay? You are following the footsteps of Kobe Bryant, who won 5 championships in 20 years. You're following the footsteps of Magic Johnson, who went to the NBA Finals 9 times in 12 years and won 5 championships. You're in the footsteps of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, in my opinion, the greatest basketball player to ever play the game. You're in the same, you know, you're playing underneath the jerseys of Jerry West and Wilt Chamberlain and James Worthy. When you are an historical franchise like the Los Angeles Lakers, it comes with historical expectations. When LeBron James plays in Cleveland, who's he playing under? Like, what history is there?
There's no pressure there.
When you were playing with the Miami Heat,
there's no history to that franchise. So whatever he does is exploded because they're not used to that kind of stuff in Miami and Cleveland.
You're playing under Dan Marino's jersey and Michael Jordan's jersey hanging up in Miami when you're
Cleveland,
playing for the Heat.
What, Larry Nance and Ron Harper, Brad Doherty, Mark Price?
Exactly. So are Laker fans justified in chanting, "We want Kobe"? Yeah, they are. And I'm going to tell you why they are. The defensive effort that LeBron put out against the Clippers the other night was horrible. And one of the things that Kobe Bryant prided himself on was defensive effort.
Nope.
And you're not seeing it from LeBron. And when you're paying top-notch dollars, a courtside seat to go see the Los Angeles Lakers is a hell of a lot more than it is as far as going and seeing the Cleveland Cavaliers. It's amplified even more with LeBron James in that uniform. Fans feel obligated to see a particular effort, and I don't think LeBron is necessarily delivering that kind of effort. And it also has a lot to do, look, Dwight Howard was not built for LA. How many times did we and other NBA analysts criticize Dwight Howard for caving to the pressure and the scrutiny of Los Angeles the 1 year he was there?
A lot.
If fans would have chanted, "We want Shaq" at the Staples Center when Dwight Howard was shooting a free throw, everybody would have been on board. We would have been talking about, yeah, Dwight Howard has high expectations. He's got to follow Shaq, Wilt, yeah, Kareem, Mikan, right? We would have piled on because it's okay to put down Dwight Howard. LeBron James is not exempt from this type of criticism, okay? He's the one that decided to sign in L.A. Big shoes to fill. Kobe Bryant's an all-time great.
You have to realize what you're doing when you come to this franchise, that the expectations are so high. And I think that he thought he was going to get a free pass this year because of the roster around him. I don't know what his thinking was, but the effort he's put in this year, it's been pathetic. It's been terrible.
Okay, let me tell you why LeBron James signed in L.A. And to me, it's become blatantly obvious this year.
Music, movies.
It was a business decision. It was not a basketball decision.
It's not basketball.
Decision.
He don't care.
At this stage, I don't think he does. Now, if the Lakers can go out this offseason and nab another all-star, maybe he'll
Which
care.
Which is possible.
It's possible. They're going to have the means
They're
gonna to
They're
going to
get the coach he wants because he's never been fully on board with Luke Walton, I don't think, from the start. So,
and this is the other thing I need
There's
people to realize.
There's another coach fired.
Exactly. I need people to realize this with LeBron James. Every single place he has gone outside of Miami... He tried to get Eric Spoelstra fired. He did. And the reason it didn't happen is because Pat Riley is Pat freaking Riley.
And he said no.
Okay? Rob Pelinka is not Pat Riley. Magic Johnson in the front office is not Pat Riley. Magic Johnson on the court is not... Look, this is like Phil Jackson, right, being in New York. The success you have on the court does not translate to the front office, okay?
No, it doesn't.
He's in a position where he can kind of push these guys around. He was able to do it in Cleveland. He wasn't able to do it in Miami. Everywhere this guy has gone, he has won with multiple All-Stars. Multiple All-Stars. Tell me what you want about Miami. Yeah, it was Wade and LeBron. They don't win without Chris Bosh.
Chris Bosh was huge.
He was a saving grace for that team. He was a scapegoat. You go to Cleveland. You won with Kyrie and Kevin Love.
Kevin Love was a scapegoat.
Everyone's a scapegoat in L.A. Now, this guy's never won without multiple All-Stars. You want to tell me Kobe never won without Shaq? Well, he did. Well, okay, he had Pau Gasol. Okay, that's fine. He had one other All-Star, right? One other All-Star with him. You can use the same logic with Michael Jordan. Yeah, he never won a championship without Scottie Pippen. You can use the same logic with Magic Johnson. He never won without Kareem Abdul-Jabbar or James Worthy. You go down the list. LeBron has never won without two All-Stars on his team, ever. It hasn't happened. Every year this man has won an NBA championship, he has won with two All-Stars.
He has no All-Stars in L.A. That is factual. It's not an opinion.
That's fact.
That is a fact. Okay? Yeah, look, am I coming down hard on LeBron? Yeah, I am. I'm not a LeBron guy to begin with.
Because it's frustrating as a Laker fan, the way that he's representing the team that you root for. It's downright pathetic, and it's disrespectful.
And Jazz fans love it, as they should.
Yeah, because they continue to grow as a franchise and as a team, and they're going to be top four in the Western Conference when it's all said and done.
Got a break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return.
This is Derek Favors, number 15 from the Utah Jazz. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
3-point game, Harris. Pick and roll, Favors takes a strong and one. Oh my, watch Derek Favors take a leap right here.
Back to close out this Wednesday edition of the show. Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 7:50 AM. I want to make it perfectly clear. I'm not saying anything negative about small markets. I'm not. And I think that too often fans of small market teams take offense to certain things in the league. There's small market, there's large market. There's also large market with history. Okay, the New York Knicks are large market. And I get that the expectations in New York are sometimes a little bit, what's the word I'm looking for? Unreasonable? That's because the Knicks haven't been good in a very, very long time. The Lakers just said goodbye to a legend. Now, when's the last time the Knicks said goodbye to a true legend? And don't tell me Carmelo. Okay, so you have Boston, they've had recent success, and you have the Lakers. And despite the fact that New York is in the largest media market in the NBA, it's not the same conversation. It's different than LA or Boston in the NBA. It just is. Yankees in baseball, look, the Knicks are not the Yankees of the NBA. They're just not. The Yankees of the NBA are the Los Angeles Lakers. And so we go back to this past offseason when Paul George re-ups, signs a max deal with OKC. I don't throw shade at Paul George for that. I don't throw shade at him at all. I don't know if his reasoning, if he's being honest and saying the reasoning he decided to stay with OKC is because they took a chance on him through trade and the Lakers did not. I don't know if that's necessarily true. It was safer. And look, Paul George has been outstanding this season. And if I had a vote for the MVP, I would vote for Paul George. OKC is fine. They're a top four team of the Western Conference. I think they're going to be a tough out for a lot of squads. I think Paul George has been the best perimeter defender in the league this season. I would vote for Rudy Gobert for Defensive Player of the Year because perimeter defense in the NBA today, it's not the same as it once was, right? It's not the same. We're talking about a two or a three playing lockdown perimeter defense. It's not the same as Kobe or Jordan because in the world of offensive basketball and the way the game has changed, we're going to give more pub to guys inside the paint adjusting shots and sending them into the second row. That's Rudy Gobert. But Paul George took the safe route, and it's worked for him. Look, Paul George could be putting up MVP numbers in Los Angeles this season. He signs that max deal. If the Lakers aren't winning, this guy's going to get criticized. And I go back to what I said last segment. There are certain players, and this is across the board in all sports, be it NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, hockey, soccer, it doesn't matter. There are certain players that can do no wrong in the eyes of the media because we have fanboys in the media. Dwight Howard was criticized up and down for everything that he did in L.A. Lakers didn't win. Dwight tried to play through a really gruesome back injury. The Lakers didn't win. They barely made the playoffs. Dwight was criticized. And it became the fun thing to do. It became the right thing to do because Dwight Howard doesn't have fanboys. LeBron James does. LeBron James has gotten people in the national media jobs because they are an acquaintance of him. These are the same guys that throw shade at fans for criticizing LeBron. LeBron James is not exempt from it. He's a max player. He's towards the end of his career, and he chose Los Angeles for basketball reasons or for business reasons more so than basketball reasons. And the reason why it seems that fans can't throw shade at LeBron, it's because he has a large contingency of his people working in the national media. Dwight Howard does not. I compare the two situations because at the time when Dwight came to L.A., Dwight was big. It was a huge deal. Out of time on this edition of the show. For Travis Anderson, I'm Jordan Buscarini. I also want to thank Coach Scott Madsen for taking out the time to join us. We'll be back tomorrow to do it again. Be safe. We are out.